buckle up and settle in for a full hour of automotive mayhem with the real car guy, master technician, Mark Salem, where the only two things we can't fix is a broken heart and the crack of dawn. To talk to Mark, call 602-508-0960. That's 602-508-0960. Now, once again, here's Mark.
Rolled up to my Chevrolet, I climbed out up inside. I pulled the choke and I turned the key, but the old girl wouldn't start. She let out a whine so pitiful, it nearly broke my heart.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's 4 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock, and I have some bad news for you. You've got to listen to me for 2 hours instead of just one. We're going to take that second hour, so we're going to talk about cars from 10 until 12, so that should help you out if you want to visit us during that period of time. You'll be able to find, you know, a few minutes in that 2 hours to talk to us. Right now, the lines are open at 602-508-0960. The time to get in is right now, but we're going to talk about something, and I want to tell you about a car repair. Now, this is kind of nifty. Alrighty. As you can imagine, the car repair of today with computers and stuff is a lot more difficult than it was in the 50s, the 60s, and the 70s. It got significantly harder in the early 80s. And then, of course, we got ABS. We got carburetors that were electronically controlled. Then we went to electronic transmissions. And then we went to fuel injections. And then we went to, we did eliminated the distributor and just all kinds of stuff. Here's the dilemma with respect to diagnostics, okay? You bring your car in and you don't have taillights. Now, we know that the taillights are fed from the headlight switch. And we also know where the taillights are at, or we better know where the taillights are at the back of the car. Let me ask you a question. Do we start at the back of the car and move forward towards the switch, or do we go to the switch and work our way backwards? Virtually every time we're working on a car with any kind of an electrical malfunction, that's a dilemma. And folks, you got to know that half the time we hit it right, half the time we don't, but we don't know. If you start at the taillights because you say to yourself, well, you know, this General Motors car has a bad habit of having bad sockets, so I'm going to start at the sockets at the back and work my way forward. You got to know that every once in a while it's up at the switch end. And we've got to go 3 miles forward, and then the last mile we find the problem. You got to know that when we start at the switch and you work backwards, every once in a while it's at the back of the car, but you just don't know. So that's a dilemma, and there is no amount of experience that's going to help you decide that. It's just the way it is. And everything electrical that goes wrong in your car, we have to decide that. When you bring it in and the window doesn't work, or doesn't roll up and down, do we start at the switch and work towards the master switch and then over to the fuse panel, or do we start at the fuse panel, go through the master switch, and then go to that window motor? It's the same. It doesn't make any difference. What's wrong with your car electrically? We still have that same dilemma. Do we start north or south and work our way towards whatever? And you can't afford to put two technicians on it and have one start from the south and one start to the north and have them meet in the middle, because that doubles your diagnostic time. So a Nissan Altima comes in and he has no air conditioning and no door locks. Okay, what do we start with? Do we start with the door locks? Do we start at the door locks and work our way towards the fuse panel? Or do we start at the fuse panel and work our way towards the door locks and the air conditioning? Do we start at the air conditioning compressor and work back through the control module, and from the control module back through the fuse links and through the fuse panel and through the switches? How do we do that? It's just a matter of that one was kind of, there's nothing you can do. You just have to pick one. So the technician determines that there's a control module, and in the center console of this Altima, there's the radio. And above the radio, you're not going to believe this story, above the radio is a compartment, a hole in the dash for your sunglasses and stuff. So he determines that module shares some circuits between the air conditioning and the door locks. Now, when he's determining this, folks, he's not working on your car. He's sitting in front of a computer, and he's following wires from screen to screen to screen. Because I can't put your whole wiring diagram of your car on one screen. So your car is divided into maybe 10 to 100 screens. So he's following E7. And he goes, E7 goes from the compressor, and it goes through the head, and then it goes over to here, and then, I lost it. It stopped right there. How does that have to do with the door panel? Oh, let me go to the door locks. Oh, they share a ground, and the ground is in here. Or they share a power supply, or they share this. Okay. So the technician goes into this area behind, above the radio and behind this little pocket, and he finds a little control module that's about, it's a little bit bigger than the square size of a pack of cigarettes, but it's half as thick. So it's only a half an inch thick, and it's just this little square box with a whole bunch of wires plugged into it. As he looks at that, he sees a slot in the top of it. And sitting in the slot is a dime. So he unplugs it. He doesn't think anything about the dime. He unplugs it, and he brings it out, and now he has the wire harness there, and at that particular point, he knows which one's a ground and which one's a power, and he knows what pretty much all those wires do. So he backfeeds the door lock circuit, and it works. He then backfeeds a ground or a power to the air conditioning circuit, and he turns the air on. It works. So he says, okay, I know they work from here. So he takes this module over to his bench, and he takes the dime out, and he just sets it there. It's no big deal. He didn't look at it or nothing. So he's looking at this, and this is where experience comes in. He's a senior guy. He's got gray hair coming out of his neck of his shirt, and he squeezes it up at his nose. Okay, so he puts the whole module up to the nose, and he squeezes it, and he smells burnt. So he takes the cover off of it, and it looks like there's been an explosion in here. It is sooty black everywhere. Now, in a joyful way, we often talk about someone letting the smoke out of an electrical device. And this is a classic example of that. Someone let the smoke out. So during this period of time, he orders a new one, and he installs it. But when he takes the old one apart, he looks and he says, you know what, this all started right at that dime. And he looks, and sure enough, this dime slipped out the back of a crack. Then it fell down, and it rolled left and right as the car was turning left and right, and at the appropriate time, the dime fell down inside this slot and wiped out this module. Can you believe that? We've never seen it before. So we say to the customer, don't put any more change in this sunglass compartment that's directly above your radio. Don't put any more change in there. You know what? This slot won't take a penny, won't take a nickel, won't take a quarter. It'll only take a dime. And so how foolish is that? Of course, there's no way they could possibly know that that was going to happen, but it's just one of those things. So when you talk about car repair, that is something that happens every day in my world. Every day in my world, something like that happens, where you look at something, you find something, or, you know, and he's lucky because the diagnostic time on that was about $130. And in time, that's between an hour and a half, depending on your labor rate. So during that process, he comes to the conclusion, he knows for sure. Bob, I'm going to get to you in just a second. 602-508-0960. In the old days, and there's a lot of you guys out there that are going to say, turn to your wife in your car right now and say, yeah, I remember doing that. In the old days, and this is before 1981, if we had an electrical problem in a car, we would oftentimes surround the car with technicians. We'd have a couple inside. We'd have one in the back seat. We'd have one with the trunk open. We'd have two or three around the front of the car. And we would power up the circuit. We didn't care. We'd use an arc welder. It didn't make any difference. You just power up the circuit. You got a short somewhere. And all we're going to do is look for smoke. That's all we're going to do. So we'd power up the circuit that had a direct short that was popping a fuse. And pretty soon, somebody'd yell, smoke, and you'd disconnect it. And I remember one time we went over, and there was smoke on the passenger side seat. And so we looked, and somebody had taken the seat off, and when they had set the seat back down, they had the wire harness underneath it. So when they tightened the seat up, it crushed the wire harness. The smoke was coming from there. That was causing this circuit to go bad. So you raise up the seat, you fix all the wires, you tape them all back up, you move them out of the way, you bolt the seat down, and you're done. Well, that's what we used to call, you know, looking for smoke. Folks, you can't do that in these new cars, because if you do that, you're going to have fire. You're not going to have smoke. So that's how we get to the old idea about letting the smoke out of something. Well, and as he walked around the shop, he says, look at this and tell me what you think. And all the technicians saying, well, you know, I don't know. What's the significance of the dime? Nobody knew it. But if you have an Altima, you go Google Altima coin air conditioning module door locks bad, but just put coin in there, Altima and coin, or Altima and dime. It's there. So sometimes you can fix a car over the internet. But through the grace of God, somebody else put it out there for us. Now, we didn't use that. We fixed the car, we thought, you know, I wonder if anybody else has found this, because we would post it. And sure enough, they had. Alrighty, Bob, I'm going to help you now. Bob, how can I help you today?
Morning, Mark.
Go ahead.
What do you think about these reusable stainless steel oil filters that have a stainless steel mesh, and you can just wash them and use them indefinitely?
I think they're a lot like the air filters that you can wash and oil and reuse and reuse and reuse. The dollar amount, let's talk about the dollar amount. I've done studies on those air filters, and you're not going to make your first positive nickel or dime or penny until you're well past 100,000 miles. Because you got to look at it this way. I'm probably going to change your air filter every other oil change. And let's say that that's 10,000 miles. So I'm going to change your air filter 10 times in 100,000 miles. And let's just say that the air filter is $20. That's $200.
1 minute.
The idea is when I buy one of those fancy-dancy oil filters, which typically aren't approved by most of the major oil manufacturers and the engine manufacturers. If I buy one of those, or if I buy that air filter that you got to oil and clean and soap and water and all that jazz, it's going to cost me $200. So I don't even get to make a dollar until I'm at 100,000. And if you trade your car off at 60, 70, 80, what sense does that make? Not to mention that many of these filters are going to cost you $2 on special at some of the auto parts stores. So that's even makes it even worse, because if you're a do-it-yourselfer and you take that $20 air filter and it costs you $10-$12 at the auto parts store, then that even makes it worse. Now you're at 150,000 miles before you get payback. So this is something that has happened many times, and we continue to deal with it. But Bob, hang on if you have another question. We'll be back. 602-508-0960.
DMBI.
Mechanic raised up from under my hood and he shook his head and said, this ain't good.
Well, welcome back, everybody. My name is Mark Salem. I'm your host for the next 2 hours till noon. And if you have a car question or car problem, I want to encourage you to give us a call, 602-508-0960. 508-0960. There's nobody on the lines right now, so you could be first. But we have Linda. And actually, let me take that back. There is somebody on the line, and her name is Linda. Linda, good morning to you. How can I help you?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Yes. I'm calling because I have a 2004 Ford Escape, and it has the compressor has gone out on the air conditioner.
Okay.
And I took it in, and they, that's what they told me. The first time I went in, it was, well, you know, it's blowing warm air. Then they said, well, come back and we'll test it with something in a blue light. And I did. And then they said, okay, you need to replace the air compressor. And I guess what I'm asking you is, you know, they gave me an estimate.
Don't tell me what it is.
Don't tell you what it is? Don't, okay.
No. Let me ask you some questions.
Okay.
All right. Is there any noise when you go to turn the air conditioning on?
No.
There's no clattering, squealing, or anything like that?
No.
Did they suggest to you that the compressor is defective because mechanically, or did they tell you the compressor's defective because it's leaking refrigerant?
It's leaking.
Okay. Did they have more in their estimate than the compressor and the dryer, or do you know all the parts that they had in it?
I can read to you what it is,
okay.
Without the numbers.
Okay.
Okay, verified system leak. Compressors leaking freon out front of compressor from shaft seal and or case seal. Also found slight freon seepage coming from high service port Schrader valve.
Okay.
Vehicle is going to need AC compressor job, new compressor, accumulator, orifice tube, flush AC system for any debris, evacuate, and recharge system. Then they gave me a list of the parts, which was AC compressor, accumulator, orifice tube, and labor, and they gave me that price. Okay. And then AC system flush gave me that price. Evacuate and recharge system gave me that price. And then the total estimate.
Okay. I'm impressed.
Really?
I'm impressed for a couple reasons. I'm impressed because they're talking to you in writing.
Mm-hmm.
That means they're not like some of the other bandits that are starting to appear.
Okay.
They're talking to you, and it's the same thing as guaranteeing you. I mean, I'm writing this down on my work order.
Right.
It's not something that I can later deny.
Right.
They're being very specific. So they're saying, I found a leak at the nose of the compressor. I've got a high side Schrader valve leaking. That should be, you know, $2. I want to flush it. I want to replace the accumulator, which is a filter. And how many miles does your Escape have on it?
Like 78.
Okay. All right. Your estimate, I'm going to guess, but I'm going to be close, is going to be between $11,000 and $12,500.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. So that's reasonable.
Yes. Yes, it is. I like the shop because they turned around and gave you all the parts and all the money. And you could argue, I could argue, why are we flushing this, you guys? Nothing came apart. We're doing this work because of a leak at the front of the compressor.
Mm-hmm.
That's an arguable point. However, here's what they're going to say, and this is what I would say.
Mm-hmm.
I would say, come on, I'm going to open up this system that's been around the world 3 times.
Right.
Why wouldn't I want to flush out any moisture, any old refrigerant? Why wouldn't I want to give her a complete system and start all over again? Plus, if I take the compressor off because it's failed and I send it back to my vendor and he says, hey, there's a bunch of water in this, mm-hmm. he's not going to warranty it, and now I have to pay for it, so I think it's in her best interest, and then I say, yes, I agree.
Okay, good. And this, I have to say, I will not name the shop, but it, as far as I can tell, very reputable, been around a long time.
Well, who are they?
Oh, you want me to say?
Yeah.
Combs Auto.
Mark Combs and Alice, his wife, they're good people.
I get that feeling when I go in. I have been in there for some other minor things, and every time I go, you know, I feel like they're very, very, very nice.
Oh.
And family oriented, you know, I mean,
yep.
The business is, and I guess, you know, but I don't mean to plead
no.
ignorance, but I'm a woman, what do I know? And, you know, this is a big expense for me, and I thought, you know, maybe I should, and then I thought of your show, and I thought, you know, maybe I should just check out to see if this is reasonable.
Now, you know, and I know, I didn't know who this was.
Uh-huh.
You didn't tell me in advance.
I didn't talk to you back.
And actually, I tell the operator, I don't even want to know what they want to talk about. All I want is Linda. I don't want to know what city they're from. I don't want to know. Let me tell you something about Mark. Mark and I go back to the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And Alice is his rock. And uh-huh. Alice is the one that actually carries the whip.
Uh-huh.
And Mark is the nicest guy in the world. We used to meet for Tuesday morning breakfast in downtown Scottsdale. We did that for 20 years.
All right.
But Mark would hardly show up because he couldn't get out of bed. Okay. And then after that, the dog had diabetes. And then after that, something else happened. We used to tease him unmercifully. We used to tease him. He's a very jovial guy. And let me tell you something. The only reason him and many others are no longer on my referral list is because of economical reasons.
Mm-hmm.
There's a $750 annual fee, and I've had 10 or 12 shops say to me, can I come back? I want to skip this year. So the fact that Combs Auto's not on my list doesn't mean anything, because if he'd pay his dues, he would be. And and he's like some of the other shop owners. It's just a decision they make.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
if he's in my ballpark and he's going to do all that kind of stuff and he's going to give you at least a year warranty, no matter who the shop is, that's a good deal.
Okay, that's good. That's exactly what I needed to know.
Okay.
I really thank you very much.
You're welcome, Linda. Good luck to
and,
you.
And I would recommend this shop.
Okay.
They're wonderful people. They really are.
And that brings up a good point, too, because, folks, trust me when I tell you I know the bad ones. And here's how it works. Someone will call up and they'll say, Mark, Sandy's and Son in Mesa isn't on your list, but I use them. Tell me what you think of them.
2 minutes?
Now, I'm not shy. I'm not scared. The people that know me probably say Mark says things he shouldn't. And if you've listened to the show long enough, you know that I'm ornerier than heck. But the fact of the matter is I just say it the way it is. Sandy and Sons is a great place. He's not on my list, and the reason he's not on my list is because he's too close to one of the other shops. They were first. But Sandy and his son, Joey, are perfect people. They're a great shop. Now, you may call me and say, what about this one? And I may say to you, I have nothing nice to say. That's the way my mother taught me. I have nothing nice to say. Folks, on the other side of this break, I'm going to share with you what you need to watch out for right now. Because right now, the business world of auto repair is going to change this year and next year. And the reason why that's going to change is because it's kind of like when we started going downhill, whether you believe it was 2005, 2006, or 2007, we started going downhill. The question is are we going to go further? Or can you continue to take red numbers, and how long can you take red numbers before you have to fold your tent up and move on? And if you decide to take advantage of your customers so that you don't have red numbers,
30 seconds.
Those are the kinds of things that some shops are having to deal with. And there's some that aren't doing a very good job of it. And those are the ones that I hear a lot about. I hear them from the media. I see paperwork. People call me and say, what about this? And I say to them, I don't want to know the name of the shop. Let's just talk about the situation. And at the end of the thing, I say, tell me who it is. So I don't name names a lot, but you can always email me at mark@marksalem.com. 602-508-0960. The lines are wide open, and we'll talk to you now.
Mark Salem has a...
Well, you can get spare old tape and a color TV, get a backseat bar and reclining seats, and just pay once a month, like you do your rent.
Like you do your rent. I wish I was born during that period of time. You know, I really think that I'm going to be reincarnated as a dog in Ethiopia where they eat dogs, because I've had a good life, but if I had to live it all over again, I'd want to live like Tombstone Era, that kind of stuff. This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Kurtz Auto Repair. They have years and years and years and years of experience working on domestic imports, gas, diesel, motorhomes, trailers, boat trailers, packing wheel bearings, whatever you need. I-17 and Bell, just east across the street from Midway Chevrolet. I-17 and Bell. So if you live in that area and you're looking for a good shop, try Kurtz Auto. Now, if you already have a shop, stay there. But if you want to compare, Kurtz would be a good place to compare. But here's the difference. With Kurtz, if you have a complaint with Kurtz and Kurtz loses the Better Business Bureau arbitration and the arbitrator tells Kurtz to give you money or make a refund or fix your car and Kurtz says no, or any shop of mine says no, I will up to $5,000. That's the difference. I'm an old cowboy. I put my money where my mouth is. Now, you do the math. If these guys pay me $750 a year, that's 7 years of income from one shop that I'm risking. And, of course, if I have to pay for him, he's gone. And so I don't get to charge him. But since 1988, never had to pay. I used to be no guarantee, and then I went to 1,000 guarantee, and finally my wife says, you know what, 1,000 doesn't mean nothing. You need to get big. And I says, you know what, I haven't had it. There's no risk. The reward is great. The risk is low. Pfft, fine. $5,000. That's the difference at MarkSalem.com. MarkSalem.com. Let's go to the phones. Bill, thank you for holding, buddy. How can I help you?
Well, thanks. I appreciate it. Long-time listener, first-time caller. I have a question for you. I'm having fits and starts with an 02 Dodge Grand Caravan.
Okay.
And I can't for the life of me figure it out. I've had it checked out. But I thought it was kind of a fuel issue. I'm having the vehicle at different speeds, usually about between 40 and 50 miles an hour. If you barely just touch the gas, it'll lurch.
Okay.
And then also, if you're up at speed, let's say you're up at speed on the freeway and you're doing 65, just out of lurch. I had my tranny rebuilt about 7-8 months ago, and I keep thinking this is a fuel type of issue, but I had a new fuel in, and I had a new fuel pump put in, which I'm having the same problems afterwards. So I'm thinking I went in the wrong direction, and I really haven't been able to figure this out, and I'm not really sure where to go.
Okay, all right. this is a really classic example. If I've traveled this path once, I've traveled this path 1,000 times. We need to determine spark or fuel or transmission. So what I want you to do is I want you to take over control of the transmission, and I want you to shift it yourself. And what you're talking about is a little bit of a stutter. It's kind of an engine miss that may not be real rhythmic, but it's a surge release, right? Is that kind of the symptoms that you're feeling?
Right, and sometimes when my daughter's driving, it'll just stall for no reason.
It'll stall for no reason.
So that concerns me for safety.
Okay, all right. Okay. And when it stalls, how fast is she going when the engine stops?
Not really sure. Sometimes, you'll be just sitting. It'll be idling just fine, and it'll stall, but it'll fire right back up.
Okay. Well, the fact that it fires right back up indicates that the fuel system is full of pressure. So that wouldn't have been a guess that I would have made. However, that really, if it's an idle stall and we've got a little bit of a miss, then that's going to be ignition system. It's going to be crank sensor, cam sensor, control module, ignition module, a coil, something like that. Now, okay. I'm not suggesting you go start swapping parts. What somebody really needs to do is do you ever have any codes in it that give us
yeah.
some kind? Okay, good.
Yeah.
What code did you have?
Well, I'm trying to remember now.
Misfire code?
It might have been a misfire code because okay. I kind of thought before the place I took it, might have been, plugs, and I changed plugs out with a different kind of plug.
Okay.
But within 10,000 miles ago, and maybe had thought about coil as well, but have not changed any plug wires or coil since
okay.
I've had it.
It won't be plug wires. This is a total breakdown of the ignition system. That's why it died. This is a total breakdown of it. So one wire wouldn't cause it. One plug wouldn't cause it. So now we're down to the ignition module and whatever triggers it. I can't think of an O2 whether you have a distributed ignition system and you have coilover. I don't think so. I'm thinking you have a distributor, which means there's a pole piece or a something that replaces the points and condenser in the distributor, or it could be a crankshaft sensor. We need a signal somewhere. But I'm pretty sure you've got an ignition problem, and I can tell you it's not going to be a spark plug and it's not going to be a wire. So that eliminates it down to about three components, but I think it's going to be easy to find if we can just get another code, because the code will kind of direct us. I'm losing the traffic signal here, or I've got a complete breakdown here, or something else. 602-508-0960, the lines are wide open, and we'll be right back.
Hello.
Most Friday nights, I can be found in the bed of my truck on an old Chase Lounge. Backed into my spot at the driving show.
So you might wonder what a car guy does on the weekends. Well, I can tell you. On the weekends, I'm dealing with horses and I'm fixing stuff, but last weekend, I put a misting system in my horse trailer. Now, I know that sounds crazy. But you know what? It works great. I have a big water tank. I have this RV pump. I plumbed it. I have valves on each one of them so that when my horses travel in the heat of the summer, I can spray some misting on their backs. And they don't like it on their heads, and they've made that perfectly clear by kicking me when I turned it on, but that I forgive them. This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Phoenix Body Works. They were voted as one of the best body shops in Phoenix, and they've been on my best car repair shops list for years. Greg May and his staff have been serving the Phoenix area since 1982. They offer free computerized estimates, a lifetime warranty, and they are very, very insurance friendly, which means they're not going to fight and make your insurance company mad, but they're not going to feed you to the wolves either. Their employees are ASE certified, and that's mechanical, ICAR certified, that's paint and body, and they belong to the Better Business Bureau, and they do everything right. So the law says it's your vehicle and you choose the body shop, and if I were you, and I lived in North Phoenix or anywhere, I would go to Phoenix Body Works. They're located at 19th Avenue, half block north of Deer Valley Road. That's Phoenix Body Works. On the dying and missing bill, I think you probably left by now, but one of the things that, let me think out loud here just a minute. So I've got a little bit of a stutter. I've got a little bit of a miss. I had a code, And that happens sometimes at different mile an hour, but at higher speeds. But then, in addition to that, I've also got a die. Now, when you're idling at an intersection, your motor's running 600, 700 RPM. Maybe even 500, 600, 700 RPM. Obviously, when you're going down the highway, you're doing 2,000 to 3,000 RPM. So if the crankshaft sensor or if the pole piece in the distributor happened to miss a beat every once in a while, it would have a much greater effect on an idling motor than it would be an engine that's running at 2,000 RPM. Because of that, that's probably the area. Now, I also want to tell you this, and I'm not making fun of you. Don't misunderstand. You've already spent more money guessing than this is going to cost to fix. And I know it's fun, and I do the same every once in a while, but you don't want to go crazy. So I don't want you to go buy a distributor, or I don't want you to buy a crankshaft sensor, I don't want you to buy all the spark plug wires and the spark plugs and the injectors and the coils, because that's going to be an expensive proposition. When you get to this situation, you have two choices. You can start guessing, and when you come to one of my shops, they're going to say, you can start guessing, but we're going to guess with your money. Or you can wait till it gets worse and easier to find. But if you want to give yourself the best chance, pull the battery cable in negative, let it sit for a couple minutes, plug it back in. That'll clear the computer's memory. Hopefully you'll get a check engine light. When you get a check engine light, that code will help us. And if it says misfire cylinder 4, then that may be related to cylinder 4. Or it could just say misfire. It can say a lot of things, but it'll guide us. Otherwise, is it one problem? And is it one cylinder or is it all the cylinders? That's the distinguishing part of the code that I need to know about. All right, what else have we got here going? It's really, I was going to tell you about shops. Folks, here's how it works. And I've been in this business 30 years, and there's many of you that are business people as well. And as a result of that, you've had the opportunity, like the rest of us, to have a credit line. So in the auto repair industry, typically we're flying high from probably April to August. During the summer, during the hot weather, we're kicking butt. Because of air conditioning, because of cooling system, because of tires, because of all that stuff. If you make it through the summer, you're going to coast through fall and winter. I mean, that's all there is to it. And business slows down. Now, there's some shops in the valley here that have a winter crowd, like East Mesa, Apache Junction. So their calendar is going to be a little different. So what happens under the best of conditions is we're making hay when the sun is shining from April to August, but then sometimes we need to live off of a credit line, and that credit line will carry us till the next April. So from August to April, carry us through. Maybe get us a couple payrolls, stuff like that. Then in April, you start making hay, but you got to pay that credit line back. And that's what's going on. Is there not? Because business isn't that good. To give you an idea of how good business is or how bad it is, we had on our peak, we had 14 techs, and today we have 4 or 5. It's just you have to adjust based on the traffic. And many other shops are the same way. But I'm seeing some ugly stuff out there. Really ugly stuff. Now, I'm going to admit to you up front that oftentimes I only hear half the story. If the shop is not part of my network, I'm not going to hop on my white horse and go slay your dragon. I don't do that. However, if your dragon is one of my shops, I will be involved in the dispute resolution process. And sometimes I have to just grab them by the ear and say, come on, it's $180. Let's get it over with. Maybe they don't come back, or maybe they do, or whatever, apologize. Or sometimes I say to the customer, you're just wrong. You're expecting him to know that the tire was going to blow out 2,000 miles after your last oil change, and the tire was old, and you can't ask him to buy you a new tire because he didn't see that the tire was bad at the oil change that took place 2,000 miles ago. That's kind of the way it is. So I've seen some stuff that would just, and again, I'm admitting to you, I only hear half the thing, but I saw a ticket the other day, and a guy goes in for a starter problem. They say it's a flywheel. That opens the door for them to take the transmission out to look at the flywheel or replace the flywheel. Oh, you need a clutch. $1,200 later, they say, oh, you have the wrong starter in there. And so he's thinking, all I really needed, I wanted a professional to help me, but all I really needed was a starter, and now I'm ending up with a $1,200 clutch, pressure plate, throw-up bearing, and flywheel, and starter, And then he gets his old flywheel back and he says, you know, it's not damaged, it's not burnt, it's not cracked. And so now he's in a dispute resolution with someone not my shop's. Those are the ugly things. I was involved in a deal with a motorhome not too long ago where one shop, the motorhome had an Allison transmission and it had an Allison computer that runs the transmission. One shop quoted $5,700. No, I'm sorry, $5,400 for the computer. That was cash and carry. $5,400. I went to the manufacturer of the transmission, which is Allison, and I went to their store, which is W.W. Williams in Phoenix, and theirs was $2,700. Now, let me ask you a question. You can follow my sick mind on this, okay? What's half of 54? So I say, what's my cost on that? And they say 23. So I buy it for 23, and I can sell it for 27. I can make $300 on it. Yeah. Does anybody else buy from you? Yeah. Do you have any idea what anybody else will sell this for? No. So why is that? And the answer is business is slow. And you only have two choices. You don't feed your family and be a jerk and sell people stuff they don't need. We talked to Linda a few minutes ago about her escape. If I would have seen all the hoses and all the belts, and if I would have seen that ticket up to $2,000 and she had 70-some-odd thousand miles on her car, I would have said something. I'm not the guru of all car repair. And I'm not even going to admit that I know right from wrong, because everybody that knows the honoree Mark Salem knows that every once in a while he does something that's really stupid. But I am going to tell you that I try to do right, and sometimes that's wrong. I'll give you an example of being honoree, okay? So you have an idea that you're not talking to, you know, some serial killer. I had a problem with my computer company, and they said to me, you're not the authorized person, so you can't order computer components. And I said, well, the gentleman that is the authorized service no longer works here. And it's my credit card and it's my account. And they said, no, you can't do that. He has to write us a letter and turn that responsible person over to you. I said, okay, then just close the account. And they said, you can't. It's not your account. I said, okay, well, then I'm going to open up a new one. And they said, no, you can't because you already have one. Are you getting my drift here? So I'm an hour on the phone just trying to order some computers. So finally I hang up, and this is how my line works. I say, I know my 18-digit account number, and I know my password. So I type in hacker, and I find a website over in Europe, and I post my account number and my password and say, you can probably get computers here. Now, I'm hoping that the computer company is not going to let this happen, but I'm pretty sure it won't. So about an hour later, the security portion of the computer company calls me and says, Mr. Salem, we're sorry to tell you that someone has accessed your account and they have gathered all your data, and we're going to have to close your account. And my wife looks at me and she says, you dog. And I said, honey, I accomplished my goal. My goal was to get the account closed. So a couple days later, the head of security calls and he says, do you have any idea what happened? And I said, yes, sir. He says, well, what happened? And I says, I put that information on there. He goes, why? I says, because you wouldn't close my account. And he started laughing. And he says, you got to be kidding me. I said, no. He says, that's the craziest thing I ever heard. And I said, well, that's what I did. I said, I didn't do anything illegal. You didn't get ripped off. And I was going to pay the bill if you happened to let him. But I was going to dispute the bill, blah, blah, blah. But next time, maybe you'll just let me close my account and reopen a new one. He says, well, do you want to reopen a new one? And I said, what, do you think you're talking to somebody who was born yesterday? I'm not going to do business with you guys anymore. You made my life tough. He says, well, you made my life tough. And we laughed together. I said, I'm sure you're a good guy. And I want you to know I'm a good guy. But that's one of the examples in my life of doing wrong, but doing right. And so sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't. 602-508-0960. We're going to do another hour. So we've got about 3 more minutes of this hour, and then we're going to do another hour, and the lines are wide open. So if you have a question, then you can call us. We just want you to know that there's a lot of shops that are hanging on by their chinny chin chins. And I can tell you unequivocally that mine are not. You go to MarkSalem.com, and I have a list of shops. Let's talk about the Northwest Quadrant. Tom at Action Auto, Kurtz, Thunderbird Auto, another Tom, S&S Tire, got two of them, Surprise in Peoria, Auto Dynamics, Pete Nelson, Sun Transmission, Adolph Transmission, Mike's Auto Tech, Ian Hugh, Roosevelt Alignment, D&B Auto, Dan and Betsy. That's the Northwest Quadrant. None of them are going broke. None of them are behind in their bills. They're all good shops. Southeast Quadrant. So we're talking about the Tri-City area, Scottsdale, Mesa, Tempe, Apache Junction, Mesa. We got Martin's Auto Repair, Indian School, and 16th Street. Been around since Jesus was a baby. Second generation running the place. Never had a complaint with me. Never had a complaint with me.
2 minutes.
Got Tony's Auto Service, 56th and Thomas. Two generations running that. You got Bell Auto Service, 87th and McDowell. Two generations running that. Village Auto Electric in Mesa. Thompson's Auto Repair, two generations. Jerry's Auto Service, Far East. Then I got two body shops out there, Custom Coach Works, Envision Auto Body. We got Schumann's. I think there's three generations in Schumann. And Mike Fennell runs Schumann's. I went to high school with him. He cheated off my papers. And I'm telling you, he graduated high school because he looked over my shoulder. Okay, I'm just going to tell you that. That's Schumann's Automotive. He's north, he's a block south of Rio Salado and a block west of Price. But he made it through high school because he sat behind me and copied off my papers. But I want to tell you about Mike Fenno, who owns Schumann's Automotive. He's the best alignment guy I've ever met in my life. He taught me, and I think I'm good. I really think I'm one of the best alignment guys in the world. He's better. No matter how good I get, he's better. And his son is better than both of us. So a lot of times when people say, I want the best alignment shop, you got to go to Tempe. You got to go to Schumann's. There's some other guys out there that know what to do, but Schumann's is really good. Quality transmission. Center of Tempe, good place. Arizona Import. Beyer Motor Works. Think about this. Beyer Motor Works, BMW. I tell you what. Those guys there pull rabbits out of their hats all the time. And they do things for prices that are unbelievably inexpensive. So if you've got a BMW and you live in Chandler or in the East Valley, you might want to look at them. 602-508-0960. That's our phone number. We can answer just about any car question you've got. We've got another hour. So we're going to go till noon. And you're welcome to join us. My website is marksalem.com. And guess what my email address is? mark@marksalem.com. So I'll see you next hour. We'll be back here in about 5 minutes. See you then.
Do you have provided for informational purposes only?
Buckle up and settle in for a full hour of automotive mayhem.
Mark, we got
the
caller Joe.
Guy, master technician, Mark Salem, where the only two things we can't fix is a broken heart and the crack of dawn. To talk to Mark, call 602-508-0960. That's 602-508-0960. Now, once again, here's Mark.
Rolled up to my Chevrolet, I climbed down.
Welcome back, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. My name is Mark Salem, and I'm here to serve you. I'm not here to thump my chest and tell you that my shop's the best one in the world, because truthfully, it isn't. I'm not here to tell you I'm the best tech in the world, because I'm not. But what I do have is 20 years of experience in the media and owning my own repair shop, and I know right from wrong. Now, as I explained last hour, I don't always do right. Sometimes I do wrong to accomplish right, but that's the way it is. So if you have a question, 602-508-0960, the lines are open. And Joe, I'm going to get to you in just a minute. But if you're interested in a car question, if you have a repair question, or if you have some symptoms that you want to run by me, that's what I do good. 602-508-0960. There's four lines open. This portion of On the Hood is brought to you by Bob at Quality Transmission. If you have any issue with the transmission, Bob or Steve will help you. They'll drive your car for free. They'll talk to you for free. Now, they're not going to put it on the rack and do any work on it for free, but they're going to talk to you and they're going to drive it. And you'd be amazed on how good they are at determining this question. Is your problem transmission related or engine related? Because that's the million dollar question. It's really, there's some of you out there that have had transmission overhauls done and still had the problem you had after the transmission overhaul was done. And that's a sinking feeling. So, Quality Transmission is located in Tempe on McClintock North University. They're one of four transmission shops in the valley that I stand up for. Quality is one of them. The rest of them are on the west side, so he kind of handles the east side, but Bob at Quality is by far the best. Joe, you're up next. How can I help you today?
I have a 02 Mercury Sable with 75,000 miles on it. It started to run rough when I stopped and died. Half hour later, it started so I could drive it home, but I had to keep my foot on the accelerator because if I didn't, of course, it would stall. So that meant every time I stopped, I had to put it in neutral to keep the engine going. It was diagnosed as a gasket on the master cylinder. Why didn't my temperature gauge tell me it was running hot and the coolant and the oil just mixed together?
Wow. Joe, let me just think out loud now. If you have a gasket on your master cylinder, then I'm thinking that you had a vacuum leak. And I'm thinking the vacuum leak took your idle circuit away. And because that's the only relationship between the car having no idle and the vacuum booster, the power brake booster in the master cylinder. So, but what I'm hearing you say is that you've been told that the car overheated and blew the head gaskets, and now you need major motor work because of a gasket at the master cylinder. And I hear you saying that they're saying that the motor overheated and you didn't get a warning, and you're wondering why.
That's correct. I have one thing to add to it.
Okay.
I had some work done previously on the AC, and I had a gas leak where the mechanic didn't want to drop the tank. He did something other than that, but then he had to drop the tank, and I wonder if this would contribute to that problem.
No. A gas leak is going to come with a smell, and that's typically the only symptom, and it may come with a check engine light.
Right, and well, I didn't have that, but of course they've done the smoke test on it, and it didn't show any leaks anyplace, so instead of dropping the gas tank, he went ahead and did some other stuff around for the fumes, and he thought he fixed it, but he hadn't, and I had to go back when he dropped the tank, and I just...
Okay.
Because if that could have been a possibility to it.
Well, it depends. What I would have to know is I know at the first side that we had a fuel leak and they thought it might be around the tank. They smoke tested the tank. And folks, what that means is we have a machine that makes a really white, dense smoke. So we pinch off all the lines in the gas tank and we fill up the gas tank with white smoke and then we all stand around and look at it. We usually do that at lunch hours where we can eat our lunch at the same time. But we stand around and look at it. That has nothing to do. The burning fire right now is you got head gaskets blown, right?
Yes.
All right. The estimate should have been somewhere in the vicinity of 14 on the low side all the way up to 2,000 on the top side if they said to you, Joe, the best you can hope for is about $1,000, $1,200. And that's pull the heads, resurface the heads, make sure they aren't cracked, new head gaskets, new top-end gaskets, new coolant, new oil, new filter, and maybe some valve work, but not necessarily at 75,000. So hopefully the valves are all good and clean and everything. And we put it back together. Now, if we have to buy a head, if we have to have broken head, if we have a problem, it can pop up to 2,000. How close am I?
You're pretty good. I have this vehicle in your shop on Warner.
Okay.
And it's been there a couple of days. They promise I'll probably get it Monday. But
okay.
The reason I really called, not for that, but just to find out if the work that was previously done by some other people was a contributing factor to the problem I had. What would blow the head gasket?
Okay. I tell you what, Joe, you got to tell me that sooner because my heart is beating fast. I remember years ago a guy called in. I'm going to get off the subject for a minute. And I'm going to answer your question. A guy calls in and tells me that worst story about an alignment you've ever heard in your life. And at the end of the story, I said, "Have you talked to the owner of the shop?" And the guy goes, "I'm talking to him now."
That's good.
And I said, "What are we talking about money?" He goes, $88. I said, "I'll have a check in the mail to you for $88 in 20 minutes after this show is over. I'm really sorry, but I wish you would ask me privately, but it's okay because we make mistakes like everybody else." But let me answer your question. What typically happens, and I'm going to guess here, and I wish I was at a computer right now where I could look at it, but Joe, usually you lose coolant because of a leak somewhere, and the coolant leaks out so fast that it exposes the temperature sending unit to air. So the coolant's no longer touching the temperature sender unit that would tell you it's overheating. And the coolant drains out of the car engine so fast that the coolant temperature sensor doesn't know it. So and the coolant temperature sensor is always on the top of the engine. So it drains out fast, you overheat, you don't get any warning, and maybe you get a little steam, maybe you get some other pinging noises, but you're trying to figure it out, and during that period of time, the head gaskets are popped. I can answer the other questions, but I need you, if you haven't already, I need you to bring me the paperwork, and I'm gonna tell you the truth, and I'm gonna.
Oh yeah, I didn't call you with the idea of trying to trap you or anything of that type,
I
really have the utmost trust in your shop because I've talked to a number of people, and that's why I've taken it to your place.
Okay, I can answer your question, but I can say 99.9% certain that nothing behind the driver's seat had anything to do with this. And I don't understand the relationship of this bad master cylinder gasket, but I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to be in court all day Monday, not as a defendant, by the way, as a witness. And Tuesday morning I will look this over, and I will call you personally. And I'll tell you what I can tell by what, because I'm going to ask my staff, what caused this overheat? What caused this loss of coolant? And they're going to say radiator. They're going to say the fans didn't work. They're going to say the thermostat stuck shut. They're going to say one of the hoses blew. They're going to tell me. And I'm going to say, okay, now I want to know what the pressure test was like. I want to know this. I want to know that. So,
well, I don't want to trap your people either. I'm sure they're very efficient, and this isn't a trick question by no means.
Joe, I know that. And my staff, here's, and folks, I don't want to tell you, I don't want to talk about my shop, because that's not what I'm here for. I want to talk about the group of shops that I represent that are really good guys. I've been blessed in 100 million different ways. That's why I'm convinced that when I'm reincarnated, I'm going to be a dog in Ethiopia, because I've had a good life. The idea is, I don't want to talk about, but I want to tell you, that one of the main differences between where you're really well protected and where you aren't, and I copied this from a couple other shops in town. I'm going to admit it. I didn't come up with this. My service riders have one responsibility, and that's the customer. And they are in the middle between the shop and the technician on the left and the customer on the right. Their job is to protect the customer from the technician in the shop. Their entire job is the customer. And they have to do everything based on what's in the best interest of the customer. Not what's in the best interest of the owner's checkbook. Not what's in the best interest of the commissioned employee. What's in the best interest of the and I actually saw this occur in one of my shops where the service writer said to the customer who was in the lobby, says, "Yeah, you need shock absorbers.
2 minutes.
You're only driving this thing 2,000 miles a year." And he goes, "Where do you go?" She said to the doctors, "How far is that?" "A couple miles. I go to the grocery store every once in a while. That's all." And he says, I'm not going to sell you $1,200 worth of shocks when that's all you do."
Yeah, that's correct.
You know, and of course I'm looking at him and saying, "You better be talking to my mother," because and then I tell the service writer, "Everybody that walks in here is either my mother or my dad." And that's what other shops do.
I wonder if it would do any good if they worked at these other mechanics have done, if I brought the paperwork down so you could actually see what they were doing, but you don't feel there's any relationship whatsoever.
Well, I need the paperwork. I would be happy to answer the question. Let's settle on a question. The question is simple. The question is, Mark, look at this paperwork and see if you can find any way to relate the work that was on this paperwork and what I'm experiencing now. That is a question I will look at for you for free. That is a question that I deal with every day from law enforcement and insurance companies. As a matter of fact, I'm working for OSHA right now on a case, and that's kind of scary because, you know, OSHA's not necessarily a friend of the auto repair industry, but I'm working on a case for them. But that's the kind of question I get all the time, and I charge lots of money for that. But for you, because you're shot, I'll handle it. I'll handle it. So I'm going to get back with you. 508-0960. 508-0960. Put a 602 in front of that. 602-508-0960. Give me a call, and we'll discuss your car problem any way you want. When we come back, we're going to kind of talk about something different, and that is how to find a good shop and a couple of keys other than asking me a couple of ways to do that. 602-508-0960.
Hello? The mechanic raised up from under my hood and he shook his head and said, "This ain't good. Timing belts done shrunk, one size too small."
One size too small. My name is Mark Salem, and I'm the host of This Hour, and we're talking, the name of the show is Under the Hood, and this portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Brian and Thelma Thompson, who own Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing, and they're in Mesa. They're on the south side of Maine, just east of Stapley. Stapley, Maine, south and east. Thompson's been in business since 1970, another two-generation auto repair shop. They're equipped to handle all major and minor repairs.
Call
kinds of
Jerry.
Cars. AAA-approved shop. They're an ASC-certified Blue Seal shop. Brian is on the TechNet Council that helps create industry standards. And Thompson's Auto Repair was named the Business of the Year in 2009 by the Mesa Chamber of Commerce. I'm proud to have Brian and Thelma part of our best car repair shop list. And was that Jeffrey?
Jerry.
Jerry. Good morning, Jerry. How can we help you this morning?
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
I have a 1998 Honda CRV, 97,000 miles. The other day, my wife took it in to get the tires rotated. When she left, the car was bouncing, like driving like a tank in a way.
Okay.
I took and drove it around and was doing the same thing. And it seems to be coming from the rear end more than the front end.
Okay. It and you didn't have this before.
No.
And all they did is rotate the tires.
Yeah.
You know what? I wouldn't move that car. I'm scared to death right now that you've got that they forgot to tighten up one of the wheels.
I checked that.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I feel better already.
I jacked it up and torqued it. Checked the torque.
Okay. All right. Now, if you have the ability to jack it up, what I want you to do is set the parking brake and make sure you chalk them front tires.
Yeah.
And I want you to jack it up. Just clear the wheel off the ground, and I want you to spin it, and I want you to watch the horizon of the tire as you spin it, either at 6 o'clock or at 12 o'clock. I don't care when. I want you to look for an egg on the tread. Now, here's what I'm thinking. If you had a bad tire, why didn't we have a violent shake on the front end? Because those tires came from the front. They were put on the back. That's what a tire rotation is. So why when you drove in there, wasn't that steering wheel going left and right, left and right, left and right? Because one of the tires had a tread separation. Now you put it on the back, and now we have a tremendous seat-of-your-pants vibration that's definitely related to speed. Is that correct?
Well, it seems to be.
Okay.
You know, a lot of it is if I go over a curb, like driving into the driveway,
uh-huh.
or one of those speed bumps, I really feel it bounce.
Okay. Let's pretend you're talking about me, okay?
Yeah.
I'm going to say to you, the first thing I want to do is I can't tell you it's not our fault because I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
That makes sense? So let's put the back on the front and let's go drive it. Then let's put the front back on the back, all at my cost. And we'll together, and I want you to be with me, together we're going to kind of figure this out. And I want you to demonstrate to me what it is you're feeling or seeing so that I can help you. But what's really strange, and you should focus on this, you gave me this problem. It's not that you created the problem. It's the work gave us the problem. So help me find out what happened. and the shop cannot possibly turn you down because, in a real sense of the word, you didn't have this problem until they worked on it.
Yeah.
So go back to them and start there. And under the best of conditions, they're going to be very concerned because all of us leave lug nuts loose. But what I don't understand is it's more likely that you're going to find a tread separation and a bad tire when they're on the front of the car than on the back of the car. And now you're complaining of the seat of your pants, and you see the seat next to you shaking, and it doesn't translate to the steering wheel. And if it doesn't translate to the steering wheel, either up and down, north and south vibration, or left and right vibration, then it's you hit the nail on the head. The next question you need to answer is it speed related to the car? Otherwise, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 miles an hour, does it get worse, or does it come and go? Or is it symptom-driven or situation-driven, like you said, up and over a curb, up and over a speed bump? There's two different things. Now, the first one's going to be something that's spinning, the tires, the axles, whatever. The second one is going to be a suspension collapse. There's a problem with the suspension.
Yeah. That's what I was sort of leaning towards. I did some Google search on it, and I saw there was a bunch of things about the older Hondas with the rear trailing arm bushing.
Yep.
And I was wondering if, because when they lifted it up in the air and the suspension all dropped down, if that bushing, you know, 97,000 miles in Arizona heat, if it just gave out.
Okay, all right. If you want to check the trailing arm bushings, are you married?
Yeah.
Okay. You put the wife in the car, level ground, and you say to her, I want you to pull forward gently, and then I want you to abruptly hit the brakes. And then I want you to back up gently and abruptly hit the brakes. And I'm going to watch the left rear tire, the driver's side tire. And so she's going to pull up. And I don't want her to do 20 miles an hour and slam on the brakes. You get that, right? I want her to do a mile an hour, 2 miles an hour. Just roll forward 10 feet with no brake, no gas. And then hit the brake. Stop it quickly. If you have a trailing arm bushing bad, one of those rear tires is going to move forward when you're backing up, and it's going to move backwards when you go forward because the bushing's gone. That's how we test it. So you do the driver's side, then the passenger side, and if you got a trailing arm bushing, and if that tire is moving forward and backwards as you drive the vehicle, you'll be able to see it right then, right there.
Okay.
Now, if you're going to do one, you ought to do the other, and you ought to have the rear end aligned after you're done.
Yeah.
And you don't have to, though. Some people say, why? And I say, well, if that has 97,000 and the other one has 9, but if you don't want to, it's okay. I can just do one side. But it's in your best interest to do both. Plus, there's a little bit of labor savings. Plus, I don't have to align it again.
Yeah.
So that's what I do. You got a good shop to handle that?
Well, I've used DMB before.
Oh, Dan and Betsy. If you ever have any problem, just go to Betsy. Yeah, you know, Dan.
2 minutes.
He looks like Elvis Presley, doesn't he? Except if his hair was black, he looked like Elvis Presley. I like the heck out of him because the other day he had a real tough car, and he ended up, and the lady was a little upset with us. He no charged the whole bill. And I even told him, I would have been happy with something less than that. And he goes, not me. And I was proud of him.
Yeah.
I was proud of him. I mean, he could handle that. And if he did the rotation, then I'm sure he'll take care of you.
Yeah, well, I just wanted to sort of get an idea, but he didn't do the rotation. But, you know, so when I talk to somebody, I can get an estimate.
Yeah.
Good idea. I'm not sure what this is going to cost.
All right.
I'm sure it ain't going to be cheap.
Yep. No, you know what? It's not going to be that expensive either. So it's not, well, and it's relative. Some people think expensive is $300. To me, expensive is like $800, $750, $800. Anything under that in the scheme of things, because in reality, I mean, we got on your CRV, have you priced a transmission for that?
No.
Okay.
Yeah. 1 minute.
Your teeth are going to fall out, buddy, when you get that bill. So that CRV, it has a very expensive transmission, and it's not something you're going to buy at an auto parts store. You got two choices. Find somebody that can rebuild yours, which is a bad idea, and just go buy one from the dealer. That's it. And there's a couple of other vendors out there that you can buy one from. But you don't want to be out there on your own, and you don't want to have some kid with three whiskers telling you that he owns a transmission shop and he can rebuild yours, because I know lots of gray-haired guys that can't do it. And they've done it, they've tried it, and they failed, and they say, I'm not going to do it again. It's just too difficult, and there's too many specialized tools. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. We can take your call if you'd like. The lines are wide open. When we come back, we're going to talk about how to find a good car repair shop. I'm going to give you some tips, and I'm going to give you some information. And hopefully you'll understand that the information is what's in your best interest, not what's in mine. Okay? 602-508-0960.
D&B.
You can get stereo tape and a color TV, get a backseat bar and reclining seats.
Well, welcome back, everybody. 34 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. We go till 12 every Saturday from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. We're talking about cars, and you're always welcome to join us. And there is no such thing as a dumb question because men have already asked them. So if you ladies have any car questions, you don't need to be worried about that because the men have already got that particular section of car repair covered. And the phone number, 602-508-0960. So how do you find a good repair shop? Mm-hmm. Well, you can go to AAA or Angie's List, Dex, GarageFly, Great Garages, Kudzu, NARPRO, RepairPal, 2Fixit, Your Auto Network, and Yelp. Those are just a few examples that have online referrals of shops. But in the small print, let's look at what they say. Dex, 2Fixit, and Yelp say in small print, you use all of these sites at your own risk. GarageFly says in so many words, you use the links to third-party sites at your own risk. Great Garage says boldly, we do not guarantee the services, repairs, or products they provide. Kudzu says you are responsible solely for any damage or loss that may incur from the results of your using of our services. RepairPal assumes no responsibility for the content, privacy, policies, or practices of any third-party websites. And here's one that just says it in cowboy language. Your Auto Network is not responsible for any and all work that is provided by its members. Okay, now, here's the difference. And I'm proud of my industry. You need to understand that, or please understand that. I'm very proud. This is what I say on my website. If you have a problem with one of my shops, and the Better Business Bureau agrees with your version, and the shop refuses to abide by the decision from the Better Business Bureau to make a refund or repair your car, I, Mark Salem, will personally carry out the directives of the Better Business Bureau, including repairing your car and or issuing you a refund.
Caller George.
Up to $5,000. Now you pick who you're going to trust. You pick who's putting their money. Folks, this isn't about money for me. This is about, I've been doing this for 20 years. I'm proud of our industry. I'm proud that I'm able to describe things on the radio without the benefits of visuals and help you to understand that. I'm proud of our industry. There's some really great guys. We do not belong in the categories of lawyers and used car salesmen. We don't belong there. Some of us do, but not all of us. All right, George, you're up next, buddy. How can I help you?
I would like to know, where can I get a shop who changes my low beam headlight, which is extremely weak, on my 2011 Honda Accord?
The bad news is that Hondas are well known that there's no such thing as an $8 headlight change. Sometimes you have to literally pull the front bumper off those cars to access the headlight assembly. Now, under the best of conditions, we can open up the hood and we can access the back of the headlight assembly and we can replace the bulb. But I also want to caution you that it's entirely possible your Honda has a fuse for the headlights. And as any good technician will tell you, the first thing we're going to do is get a test light, and we're going to go over all of the fuse panel. So that happens first. But you can go to marksalem.com, and you can pick any shop. And it's going to say to you, what do you want? And you say, I want the best car repair shop. It says to you, do you want mechanical, transmission, paint and body, or tires? And you say, mechanical. And it says, where do you live? And you click Scottsdale, Glendale, Avondale, wherever you live. And it says, okay, here's the shops that Mark recommends in your geographical area. And that's all at marksalem.com. The bulb's going to cost you somewhere between $10 and $30. Depends on if it's a halogen or an LED or what it is. But the labor could cost you as little as $20, and it could cost you as much as $100 or more to change the assembly. It just depends on what's wrong. Under the best of conditions, it could be a fuse, and if you're a regular customer of one of my shops, I'm pretty sure they're going to replace that fuse for like a buck or something like that. But I can't promise you that. Thank you very much, George. I appreciate you calling.
I have another question. I would like to have is the high-intensity discharge lamp.
HIDs.
Yes.
Okay. 1 minute.
Here's the problem with HIDs. There's some... First of all, you got to get on the internet and find out if somebody makes a kit for the HIDs. I have HIDs in my truck. It didn't come with them. I love them. The beam of light is 12 foot tall and 180 degrees. When I flip off the HIDs and I go to either floods, running lights, or low beams, I'm going to tell you I can't even see. However, there's a problem right now because the government hasn't decided whether they're going to make this all legal or not. But I'm not going to suggest who you go to. You're just going to have to call around and ask who installs HIDs. But first, get on the internet and find out if anybody makes a kit for your 2011 Honda Accord. And if there's a kit, then there's somebody that can install them. I know we've installed a lot of them, and so has a lot of other shops. But right now, there's a little bit of limbo about HIDs. But you're right. Those cars that have HIDs, they're big. We'll be right back right after this. Welcome back, everybody. My name is Mark Salem, and for 2 hours on Saturday, from 10 till noon, we're going to talk about cars and car repair. And if you'd like to join us, you can always call in 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. And like I said, there is no such thing as a dumb question. And besides that, the guys have already asked all the dumb questions, so you ladies can call in and feel free to, because no one's going to say that. This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Larry Harker's Auto Repair. They're a full-service, family-owned, operated shop, 38th Avenue, Indian School. Larry Harker's is a good shop. If you live anywhere south of Indian School, so let's say south of Camelback, all the way to the I-10, between the West Side 101 and the I-17, can you picture that box? North boundary, Camelback. South boundary, the I-10. The west boundary, the 101, and the east boundary, the I-17. That territory is owned by Larry Harker's Auto. He holds that group down just fine. And, like I said, he's just one of those shops that's just never had a problem. Just handles them all long before they get to me. So, Larry Harker's, 38th Avenue and Indian School. I also want to remind you, let me tell you something. We were just talking about a gentleman called in, and he said that he had a D&B Auto do the repairs on his car. And we went to break and immediately went into a D&B commercial. That caught me completely by surprise. It was simply a coincidence. I don't plan that because I don't push those buttons. This scoundrel named Jeremy pushes the buttons. And if it's anybody's fault, it's his fault for pushing that button. But neither one of us knows what's next anyway. So I wanted to tell you that that was not anything that was done on purpose. And we were both laughing, thinking, that's kind of ironic. We were just talking about D&B, and now we play a commercial for D&B.
Caller Ken.
All righty. And one other thing, too. It's this last 5 years of economic turmoil. I have a lot of my friends that say to me, I bet you're making money hand over fist. And folks, it is true that when the economy turns kind of sour and people decide to keep their old cars, they fix their old cars and they don't buy new ones. But that's not the way it's been this last 5-6 years. It's just not. This is the issue. It's not a matter of people making the decision to either buy a new or fix their old. It's an issue that people don't have any money. It's not, they're not, the option isn't to go buy a new car. I tell people, I can fix just about anything on your car for the sales tax and license plates of a new car. But it's not that at all. It's just people don't have any money. Mom or dad lost their job and they're conserving. So it's not a matter of, and in our industry, I was talking to a general manager of a large auto parts warehouse, and he said there are times that he loses 30 customers a month that just dry up and blow away, and his customers are repair shops. He admits that many of them are ones that sprung up last week or last month or last year. He says there's not too many established ones that have been fallen by the wayside, but there is some. So those are the kinds of things that we have to deal with. It's really a matter of no money. Last, I want to remind you, too, that a lot of these referral services, they don't have any way to remove anybody. And and they don't, because that's an income stream that's associated with keeping them alive. That's not the case for me. This referral network of mine, MarkSalem.com, has nothing to do with my family and how they're fed. Nothing. I do this because I'm blessed with media, and I'm blessed with good fortune, and this is my way to give back. You can even go to my website and see where recently we removed a couple of shops, and you can read why. You'll never see that in anybody else's website. And the idea is I want you to have faith in my judgment. Every once in a while I make a mistake, but I'll try to make it right. Ken, you're up next, Ken. How are you today? What can I do for you?
Yes, I have a manual Volkswagen Fox, and I was just driving, it's my brother's, I believe it's a 93, and I was just driving down from the north to Phoenix, and I can't get it into overdrive. So it's probably a simple thing, but I thought I'd ask you.
Okay, it's a manual transmission?
Yes.
Okay.
And so the stick shift, I can do first, second, third, fourth.
Okay.
And it's different, though. I could tell something maybe shifted in there or something, but
yeah.
It just will not go to the right, and it won't go into overdrive.
Okay. Most of the time on the VWs, when we have a shifter problem or something like you describe, it's usually the rubber bushings in the shifter mechanism.
Okay.
And the good news is here's what I would do if I were you. Do you have a shop that works on that VW on a regular basis?
My wife does. It's near her home, and yes, so
okay.
I could take it in there. But I just thought since I was listening to you, I might throw it out at
no,
you.
No, that's fine. That's what I'm here for. Here's what, if you don't have a shop that works on it or one you don't like, I want you to call BAP Imports. BAP Imports is an auto parts store.
Okay.
And or you can kind of walk in there on Sunday mornings and you grab the oldest guy and you say, hey, come over here. Say, look, and I'm not from any of your competitors or nothing. I just moved into the neighborhood, and I have a VW Fox, and you guys sell VW parts. Who pays their bill every month on time? Who doesn't return half the parts that they order? Who is really a guy that's been around this area for a long, long time that works on VWs that you would send your mother to? That's what I'd do.
Okay.
And he'll tell you, and more than likely we're going to buy the parts from them anyway, but I think this has nothing to do with the transmission. This has to do with a 93 car. This has to do with rubber bushings and how the shifter's mounted and how the shifter moves the lever to the transmission. And it's not going to be inside the transmission. It's going to be external. And you gave me a symptom that you didn't realize how important it was, but you said something feels different, and that confirms my diagnosis.
Right, right. Yeah, it's different getting it into third, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and actually there's a rod, I'm going to try to picture this, but the shifter is connected to this shaft that goes forward, let's say, and it goes to a lever. And then this thing twists left and right, and it goes forward and backward. And you're going to grab gears based on that left and right, forward and backward, and it may be four or five, you know, goes forward and backward, or forward and up and down, or it could go left to right. But when you lose the bushing, then there's slop, and then that prevents you from getting something.
Right, yeah, it does feel like that, yeah.
Okay. All right, well, good luck to you.
All right, well, I appreciate that. And that was BAT, B-A-T?
Yes, B-A-P, and I think they would be a great... see, who knows repair shops better than the old guys at the auto parts stores?
Yes, you know? Sure.
And what happens if he says, there's one over there on 7th Street that he orders about 10 parts and returns about 6 of them. What's that going to tell you?
Yeah.
He's going to tell you he's guessing. He doesn't can't fix a car. He's guessing. And here's
right.
The bad thing. One part fixed it, but he left 3 more in there. You know what I mean? So,
right.
So
right, right.
That's why people don't know that the parts stores, they know. They know who
yes.
The good guys are. All righty?
Yes. Okay.
Thank you
sounds
very much.
Good.
All righty.
Thank you.
You bet. And let me see if I've got any. Oh, you know what? I got some statistical information here that's kind of interesting. These are the cars on the road today, okay? This is a percentage of cars on the road today. Now, we're going to talk about double digits. So that means from 10% upwards. So 9% is a single digit. And, of course, 10%. So General Motors, 20.5% of the cars on the road belong to GM. Toyota, 16%. Ford, 14%. 11 for Chrysler and 10 for Honda. So the big guys, GM, Toyota, Ford, Chrysler, Honda. That's no surprise to anybody, but there's going to be a surprise here in a minute. Let's go to the next group, which is at least from 1% to 9%. 1% to 9%. Nissan, 7%. Hyundai, 3%. Kia, 2%. Mazda, 2%. BMW, 1%. Mercedes-Benz, 1%. Subaru, 1%. And you ask me why I don't have a scanner that costs $22,000 for Subarus? It's because they only represent 1% of the cars on the road. Now, here's cars that do not even represent 1% of the cars on the road. This is amazing. Audi, Mitsubishi, Volvo, Suzuki, Mini Cooper, Land Rover, Porsche, Saab, Jaguar, Maserati, Bentley, Ferrari, and Rolls-Royce. Now, let me tell you the ones that don't even do 0.1%. I'm going to read just that list that says 0.0. Maserati, Bentley, Ferrari, and Rolls-Royce. That, you would have guessed that. You would have guessed that. But I want to go to, this is the list of cars that don't represent 1%. Audi, points. Now, these are all 0.7s, okay? These are all Audi, Mitsubishi, Volvo, and Suzuki is 0.7. Then Mini Cooper's 0.4. Land Rover is 0.3. Porsche is 0.2. Saab is 0.2. Jaguar is 0.1. And then after that. So, I think you'll agree that those of us in the car repair industry are going to really work on the top five. GM, Toyota, Ford, Chrysler, and Honda. But I want to tell you something. I get this a lot. People will call me, and especially women. And I understand that being a woman in the car repair industry or being a customer, being a woman customer in the car repair industry is a scary thing. I agree with you. I agree with you. But I want to tell you something. First of all, I'd rather have all women as customers because they'll give me the symptoms where the guys want to tell me what they've changed on it and they want to tell me how to fix it. So if I could trade all my guys away and have nothing but ladies, I'd take it in a minute. Number two, when it comes to cars, the ladies want a Toyota shop. They want a Volvo shop. They want a BMW shop or a Mazda shop. But I want to tell you something. There's all kinds of people in the world, but we all have a common heart. We all have armpits. And we all have ears. And all of us have 7 holes in our head. And all of us have hair on our head. And all that. And that's the way it is with cars. It doesn't really make any difference. Do you really think that the ignition system on a Maserati, Bentley, Ferrari, or Rolls-Royce is hardly any different than a Nissan or a Chrysler or a Toyota? It isn't. We all generate spark. All of these engines spray fuel, then they ignite it with a spark plug, and then they send it out the exhaust. It's all the same. It's just using different relays or how we get the power there, stuff like that. So if you're really a seasoned guy, and that's ironically enough, the person that struggles in the independent arena, which is working on all these cars, is someone who came from a what we call a branded dealer. Let's say, for instance, that you started with Ford and you've been there 20 years. You are really good with Fords. And there's sometimes I'm going to take advantage of that because I'm going to say to my Ford customer, I've never seen this before, but if you go over to Earnhardt, they got a guy named Rodney, and he knows it. He's seen this before. I'm going to do what's in your best interest, and I want you to go to Earnhardt because I'm not the best guy for this repair. I've never seen this before. Now, if you'll bring me back your receipt so I can learn from it, I'll give you a free oil change. Something like that. So the idea is that in reality, those guys that have been on one flag, one brand plate for 15 years, if you take a guy from Ford and you give him a BMW or
2 minutes
or a Nissan, he's in big trouble. But I also want to tell you that I've hired a couple of guys from the dealership arena. And these guys had tremendous self-confidence. And I just hired one recently that's a specialist in Kia and Hyundai. And that guy knows Fords now. He knows Chevys. He knows Chryslers. And he just has a no-fear attitude. His name's Pat, and he's a good guy. But we weren't really strong in Kia and Hyundai, and they appear in both the second category. So when we hired Pat, but we knew he had that, it's... You know, a lot of people would say it's bravado. I don't care what you call it. I call it self-confidence. I'll take the car. I'll figure out what's the matter with it. Might take me a little longer, but I'm not going to charge for the extra on-the-job training, so to speak. So that's what it's really all about. But it's kind of surprising that that the cars that don't even represent 1%, Audi, Mitsubishi, Volvo, Suzuki, Mini Cooper, Land Rover, Porsche, Saab, Jaguar, Maserati, Bentley, Ferrari, and Rolls Royce. And, of course, you know why those last four are on there, because they cost an arm and a leg. Okay, my advice is if you've got nothing to do, stop by Saturdays from 10 to 12. And we're here on 960 AM, and we're talking about cars. If you're outside the metropolitan hour, we have a 1-800 number. You just have to go in and Google KKNT Phoenix, and there'll be a 1-800 number there for you. You can also email me anytime you want. I'll answer every question myself. Not my wife, not my kids, not anybody else. I do it. Mark, with a K, at MarkSalem.com. Mark at MarkSalem.com. And my website is MarkSalem.com. You're welcome to stop there. Doesn't cost you a dime. I do all of this because I'm blessed and because I like it. So between now and then, wear your seatbelt, don't drink and drive, and if somebody does something nice for you, it's fall. Stick your arm out the window and say thank you.